Open our hearts. So today's reading of scripture comes from Luke's account of the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. Note that the Lord's defense against temptation lay in his familiarity with the scriptures of his people. From Luke chapter 4. Jesus returned from the Jordan River full of the Holy Spirit and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. There he was tempted for 40 days by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and afterward Jesus was starving. The devil said to him, "Since you are God's son, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." And Jesus replied, "It's written, people won't live only by bread." Next, the devil led him to a high place and showed him in a single instant all the kingdoms of the world. The devil said, "I will give you this whole domain and the glory of all these kingdoms. It's been entrusted to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. Therefore, if you will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered, "It is written, you will worship the Lord your God and serve only him." The devil brought him into Jerusalem and stood him at the highest point of the temple. He said to Jesus, "Since you are God's son, throw yourself down from here. For it's written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and they will take you up in their hands so that you won't hit your foot on a stone." And Jesus answered, "It's been said, don't test the Lord your God." After finishing every temptation, the devil departed from him until the next opportunity. Among the shelves of books in my office, I have two shelves wider than my outstretched arms, two shelves filled with books that are called Biblical commentaries. Each biblical commentary represents a professor's scholarly career of intense, focused research on a book of the Bible, having studied the oldest available Hebrew and Greek texts. Now, most of these commentaries focus on a single book of the Bible, like Deuteronomy, Proverbs, or Romans. For many of the Bible's 66 books, I may have just one commentary. But for other books of the Bible that I may preach on more frequently, like the Gospels, the Psalms, Genesis, Exodus, the book of Acts, for books like that, I may have two or three or even more individual commentaries. A biblical commentary usually presents two kinds of information. First, they analyze the text. So, for instance, in today's reading from Luke's Gospel about Jesus being tempted in the wilderness, a scholar might point out that everything Jesus says in this story, everything is a quotation from the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament. Or a scholar might note that there are no witnesses to the temptation experience. It was just Jesus and the devil. What's the significance? Well, Jesus could have told others about this incident later, or this story could have been created by the evangelists as a narrative way to describe the kinds of temptations that Jesus experienced in his everyday ministry. One scholar's analysis proposed that this time Jesus spent in the wilderness seems intended to recall the Israelites' time in the wilderness when they escaped slavery from Pharaoh's Egypt. How? Well, just consider all these parallels. Like Israel, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The period of 40 days also evokes the period of Israel's testing for 40 years, the number 40 being an ancient literary symbol which simply meant a long time. And the temptation to make bread evokes memories of the manna that God provided the Israelites. even more clearly, the three quotations from Deuteronomy link Jesus' temptation scene with the temptations of Israel, which involved bread, testing the Lord, and idolatry. Biblical commentaries can provide you with new insight into Bible passages that you may have heard over and over. The other thing that Bible commentaries provide, besides analysis of the text, is, well, as the name suggests, commentary, to help you try to figure out what the Bible passages might mean. When you read a biblical commentary, you'll see that scholars are very knowledgeable. They know a lot about their particular topic, but they also know a lot about the rest of the Bible, too. They're conversant with what's been written by others whose research is in the same field as theirs. They'll suggest their interpretation of what the Scriptures mean, and then they'll explain why they agree or disagree with what other scholars have written. So, what does it mean, this story about Jesus in the wilderness being tempted by the devil? Why was it included in the gospel? And what might we take from having heard it? Well, as you can imagine, any particular passage of the Bible could be interpreted in many reasonable ways. For this passage about the temptation of Jesus, one interpretation, as we've noted, is that the temptation story draws parallels with the story of the Israelites wandering in the Sinai wilderness. That's intended to convince the Jewish people that Jesus follows in the tradition of their revered leader, Moses. Another interpretation is that this story reinforces Jesus' identity. For instance, when the devil said, "If you are the Son of God," that reminds the reader that in the previous chapter describing the baptism of Jesus, the voice of God declared, "You are my son. If you are the Son of God, you are my son." Well, today, I suggest we might consider this interpretation. This episode illustrates the church teaching that Jesus is, at the same time, fully divine and fully human. Let that sink in for a moment. How is that possible? In our world, things either are something or they're not something. They can only be one thing at a time. For instance, a frying pan cannot also be a flamingo. And yet we embrace the teaching that Jesus is fully God and fully human. A holy mystery. You've heard words from the beginning of the Gospel of John. They assert, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Word was with God in the beginning. Later John adds, "The Word became flesh and made His home among us." So how does today's story of Jesus affirm the full divinity and the full humanity of Jesus? Well, first, Jesus really knew what it felt like to be tempted. Think about his time in the wilderness when he went without eating. Even if that long period of 40 days, even if it was only 5 or 10 days, Jesus would have been famished because his physical body hungered for fuel. For our part, I mean, we complain that we're starving when we haven't eaten for 4 or 5 hours. So Jesus knew what it is to be tempted. He was completely human, like you and me. But Jesus resisted the tempter's baiting to transform the stone at his feet into a basket of pita bread. Jesus refused to use his unlimited divine power to satisfy a personal want. We, on the other hand, give in to temptation. When we haven't eaten in 3 or 4 hours, we break out the snacks because we are famished. Jesus was completely divine, able to resist even a very present gnawing temptation like satisfying his own physical hunger. Jesus is worthy of our loyalty. He's worthy of our worship. He's worthy of following because he is God the Son who knows what it is to be human like you and me. That's expressed so clearly by the New Testament's letter to the Hebrews, which states, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." If you had any hesitation about devoting your life to following and serving and worshiping God the Son, Jesus Christ, be assured and encouraged by this gospel story, describing how he was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Jesus is our brother who knows the challenges we face living our daily lives. And Jesus is our master who graciously and mercifully brings us into union with the living God of heaven. Amen.